Praise God. As mentioned earlier, this is a weekend that makes us mindful of what is going on in our world. And it is important that we do not forget. Yesterday was the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Of course, it's a day that changed the course of America and the world. If you don't believe it, pull out your driver's license. Because now there's a little thing that says you're allowed to fly. There's a symbol there. If you don't have it, you can't get on an airplane. Just little ways and big ways, of course. The events that took place in Afghanistan. It's the attack on 9/11 by Al-Qaeda. That's what prompted the U.S. and its allies to invade that country to topple the Taliban government that was in place there, because they were providing a safe base for operations for terrorist groups. And of course, if I don't watch a lot of news, but if you've watched any news at all, you know the events that have transpired, and especially, you know, for those who have served. I would have to agree with so many others. Your service was not in vain. You serve to protect this country and its citizens and really free citizens around the world. So thank you for your service. And for those who, we're going to pray in just a moment. We'll have a video here and then we're going to pray. But for those who have lost their lives or family members, we want to pray for those. It's hard to think that, you know, some of those who were very small children are now 20 years later in their early 20s and how their lives were changed. You know, we live in the midst of a culture that wants to erase the past rather than learn from it. But we must not forget what has taken place. There is some truth. I know it's often misquoted, but the idea that those who fail to learn from history repeat it, and yet I love to read history. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but the more you read, I just finished a book on the election of 1800, and it's interesting. The names have changed, titles have changed, but for the most part, there was backroom politics and name-calling and deal-making, and it was a mess. Just kind of like, guess what? It's politics. It tends to be a mess in whatever country or age you're in. But we have to learn from that and hopefully do better. Remember those who have made sacrifices for truth and for freedom. And for us in particular, because it's true that we are citizens in this world and of the kingdom of God. We have a dual citizenship, and as we live in this world, we should be the best citizens we can be of both realms. So today, I want us to consider some of the things Scripture tells us not to forget, even as we remember how 9/11 changed our world. And there was a song that was written that it just simply is titled, Never Forget. Go ahead and play that.
Twenty years ago, planes of terror brought down our gleaming towers. 20 years ago, people covered in dust and ash, cities smothered in smoke. 20 years ago, and to this day we know we will never forget. we will always remember just where we were. When it all changed forever, we will never forget that day in September, watching in fear through those desperate hours, that beautiful morning, moments before we knew a world we know no more. We can never forget, we will never forget. Yit gadal v'yit kadash, the prayer for mourners we pray. Tears like rivers have washed the earth below, they're still shed today. Our Messiah, he also wept for those we loved, those we lost 20 years ago. He knows each name, and so we will never forget. We will always remember all the brave heroes who ran to the danger. We will never forget. On that day in September, some cried, "Let's roll." Others died saving strangers. Many would pay the ultimate price. What can we say of such sacrifice? We can never forget. We will never forget. The dust has cleared, the dawn has broken, raging fires gone at last. From the ash, hope has risen, clothed with steel and glass. A symbol for our children of liberty and strength. May each new generation look up and say, what we say today, we will never forget. We will always remember to hold loved ones near, for we're not here forever. We will never forget. Every year in September, freedom is dear. We must cherish it ever. So we have come to this solemn day, our hearts as one, we gather to say, we will never forget, we can never forget. 20 years now and yet, we will never
been provided by Chosen People Ministries as a courtesy for us to share. Let's pray. Lord God, this song reminds us that we must never forget. Lord, such great loss. Such great loss. Lord, may we as a nation, and every nation that loves freedom, may they not forget. Lord, this day we also want to lift up families, loved ones. Lord, I've seen so many pictures this weekend. The fireman's gear set aside, one for each who bravely entered that tower and lost their lives trying to save others. Lord, police officers, rescue workers, so many. Too many, Lord, children that grew up without a mother or father, a spouse that had to go on without, the one who was left behind, Lord, the years of war that have taken place and the lives that were lost there. God, we just ask you to bring comfort to hearts, Lord. I know this must be a hard, very hard time for so many. And God, may you be at work in our world. Let us not forget that you have called us to be salt and light in this world as your people, to help keep evil at bay. Lord, thank you, Lord. And Father, we even pray for those that we would call our enemies this day. Pray that hearts that are so filled with hate that they could do such terrible deeds, that God, their hearts would be transformed. Lord, let us not hate them for all that evil. They are still people for whom you died, and Lord, that is hard for us. Lord, teach us to love as you love. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today I want to direct our attention to three passages of Scripture that remind us that there are things we must not forget as the people of God. That we are not to forget God in the good times. That may sound strange, but I think you'll understand as we read some of these passages. And as we've celebrated communion today, that we do not forget the sacrifice of Christ for us, and that we do not forget to do good. Do not forget God in the good times. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, we read this. And this is the setting for this is the second telling of the law. Moses, as the people of Israel are gathered on the east side of the Jordan River, God's getting ready to take them across to conquer and occupy the land that he had promised them. But here is a warning, and they are told not to forget. Deuteronomy 8, beginning verse 11. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. God is warning here the people of Israel and extension to us that we are not to forget that God is our source. It's only through Christ we can do all things. I know we like to quote that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in its very context in Philippians chapter 4, Paul's saying, I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to be full. I know what it is to abound. And I know what it is to be abased. He goes, I've lived in all these things from the very heights to the very depths. And he goes, but this I've learned, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I can learn to be content with what God provides me. And that is important to us as Christians. I didn't pull it up, but my mind immediately went, if you want to see a warning to the church, go to Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea, which is described as the end times church, where Jesus comes to them and warns them. He says, you say I am rich and well-fed and well-dressed. I don't need anything. Because you don't realize that you're poor and naked and blind. Repent, therefore. You know that verse we love to quote, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That comes from Christ's message to the church. And it is an invitation, but it's first of all an invitation to God's people who basically have forgotten they need God to be a part of their everyday lives because they've done exactly what God warned the Israelites against. They've looked and said, around and thought, with my own strength, with my own energy, look what I have done. Look what we have done. You know, one of the scariest thoughts that I ever heard as a minister, and I don't even remember where I heard it, it's probably been out there for a long time, but somebody said, if the Holy Spirit did not show up in church, would you even know it? Are what we do, is it just us in our own strength, or are we allowing God, asking God, beseeching God, God, come by your power and by your presence and by the work of your Spirit and move among us? Because what we sang about this morning, the transforming power of the blood, I can't change anybody's life. I can't break the power of sin. I can't break the bondage of addictions. Hallelujah, I know God can. By his sacrifice, by the power of his blood. And may we never forget that we need God. We need God. I might get myself in trouble here, but that's okay. I've been in trouble before. Moms, dads, grandparents, can I just ask you simply, are you more concerned about the spiritual success of your children or grandchildren than you are in their success in school or sports or whatever program they're involved with? And I don't say this judgmentally. I really don't. It's just, I've been around long enough that I've seen too many times, especially once they start hitting that middle school age, that all of a sudden, I can't go to church camp because I've got sports camp or cheerleading camp or coding camp or whatever. And the parents decide it's more important to go to the other than to go to church camp. Now, church camp isn't, there are some kids that go and come back, but I tell you what, there's something about that week when the kids get unplugged and their focus is on the Lord. The sad truth is that at least nine out of ten kids in our churches who receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, guess where it happens? At camp. And you're thinking, and I've asked the question, why doesn't it happen in our churches? When was the last time we spent, and again, I'm not saying this judgmentally, I'm just telling you that when was the last time we just swept before the Lord around these altars, in these pews, in this church, not caring about the time, but just seeking God and the filling of His Holy Spirit, and for God to move among us in such a way that our kids recognized and that atmosphere was there for our kids to seek the Lord, and we prayed with them for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The church is in trouble in the sense of we don't have enough ministers. Believe it or not, I'm about the mean age of ministers. Not that mean, but you understand, our average age for ministers nationwide and even in the Assemblies of God, I think, is somewhere in the 50s or almost the 60 now, probably. There are so many churches that are having to share pastors because there aren't enough. Guess when a high percentage of people have that sense that God has called them into the ministry? Where does it happen? At camp. Why? Because they get alone with God and the focus is on God. And I'm not saying camp is a cure-all for everything. I'm just telling you, this is the reality of where we live. Now, I thank God that you don't have to go to camp to get a call from God. But sometimes we are so quick, we come and we do our thing on Sunday, and then we're out the door, and the rest of the week, I'm not saying we ignore God. But we allow so much else to fill our lives. So, there you go. I'm in trouble. But I mean, I've just seen it. Seen it too many times. Where parents come in and, well, in churches where we've had youth pastors. And cry to the youth pastors because their kids don't want to come to church anymore and don't have any interest in the things of God. And your heart breaks for them, but you want to say, where was your priority for God? They're living out what they've seen lived by mom and dad. And guys, a little onus on us. When the kids are small, especially boys, we're talking about that. We started men's breakfast yesterday. Who was there and thought the food was good? Yay. Well, you can thank Wayne for the most part, but I did some of the cooking too. But here's the thing. We're talking and going through a series about being a godly man. And gentlemen, the truth is that our boys are going to look to us. What's dad's priority? Because they're beginning to wonder, how do I be a man? How do I act as a man? And moms, it's not that we don't love you, but I mean, the reality is guys start looking, boys, especially about that middle school age, start looking, okay, I'm growing up, what does it mean to be a man? And for us men, if our priorities are not for God, and it's not just and not just lip service, then our kids are going to see God, serving God, living for God, seeking after God, that's what's important to my dad. And that becomes the model that they follow. And that's why, you know, we need women up at YFC. Thank God, God's bringing more people in. And you wonder sometimes, it gets pretty crazy up there, doesn't it, boys? And if you can speak Spanish, please come. But guys, we got so many young men up there. And we know, YFC will tell you, they have done the studies, that the influence of a mentor on a young person is amazing. The drug abuse is down, alcoholism is down, crime is down, when they have someone in their lives that basically mentors them and teaches them, this is how you live. I wasn't going to go all there, but there I went. See, forgetfulness leads to complacency and entitlement. We slip into a lifestyle of pleasure and self-centeredness instead of being people who seek God in all we do and to fulfill our responsibilities to our families and communities. When we forget. The second thing, do not forget the sacrifice of Christ for us. I read this passage earlier during communion, but I want to read it again. Says, when the time came, from Luke 22, beginning verse 14, When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirming with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. We celebrate the Lord's Supper regularly. We do it in remembrance of Jesus and of his sacrifice for us. And I know it's been a few years back, but there were some churches that were trying to take the blood and the cross out of their hymnals. But I'm sorry, you cannot read the New Testament and not catch from it the centrality of the cross of Christ, of his sacrifice for us. And I didn't print all these out, but just listen to a few of these passages from the New Testament. From Romans 3, 24 and 25, it says, God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. That's how we get right with God. We believe what God did for us through the sacrifice of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It's actually a different topic, but the truth is brought out here. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? This is when you're a follower of Jesus. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. A lot of those questions we have, does this please God or should I do this, and how it affects our bodies? This is your verse. You may not find chapter and verse elsewhere that, you know, thou shalt not smoke tobacco, thou shalt not vape. Go back here. Your body belongs to the Lord. You're to honor your body with the Lord, which probably means I need to be eating less ice cream. But we are bought with a price, the sacrifice of Christ. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2:16 says this, together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. By the cross, we are made one. Philippians 2:8. Actually, I could have done more, but I just focused on verse 8. This description of how Christ came and humbled himself. Verse 8 says, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Colossians 2:13 through 15. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not cut away. But God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Hallelujah. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Hebrews 2:12-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. 1 Peter 2:24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. And then Revelation, see, it's throughout the New Testament. And they 5:9, and they sang a new song with these words, "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people from every tribe and language and people and nation." Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Christ. Because of the cross, our lives are changed. We are transformed. We are forgiven. We are set on a new path. We are able to endure when suffering for righteousness' sake because Jesus has endured the cross for us. The cross changes everything. One last thought this morning. Do not forget to do good. Hebrews 13, verses 10 through 16. "We have an altar from which the priests in the temple have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget," there it is, "don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God." We are called to be the people of God as we are transformed by faith in the work of Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. As our lives are transformed, we're to go out and in his name be that salt and light that he has called us to be. Last night I made a mistake. Just before I went to bed, for some stupid reason, I'd been looking at something, Facebook. So usually I look for birthdays. I like to wish people happy birthdays. But I hit the news, their little news button. And can I say I started grumbling? Yeah. Kelly, I should not have done this. And she goes, "What'd you do?" I said, "I clicked on the news page." And she goes, "No, you shouldn't have done that. You should have just gone to bed." Why do I share that? Because it got me thinking. And that's probably a dangerous thing. There's a reason I don't watch a lot of news, because I end up yelling at the TV most of the time, or at my phone if I'm reading it on my phone. Here's the thing that hit my heart. When Jesus came, did he rail against the Roman government? He really didn't. He just simply said, "You know, yeah, you guys are out there, but you're only there because right now my Father has put you there. The only authority you have comes from my Father," which is a pretty amazing thing. But when you study the history of early church, they weren't yelling about the evils of the Roman government. They were telling people about Jesus. They understood that to transform this world, we must transform people's lives through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean we shouldn't speak up about the evils in our world? Yes, I think we should, but that cannot be our focus. Unless that's something God has specifically called folks to. I think there are some organizations out there that God has raised up, some Christian people that they're there to point the finger, like John the Baptist. You're sinning. You married your brother's wife. Of course, that got him beheaded. So if you do that, don't be surprised. But I think for the majority of us, other than to speak out for what is truth, our focus must be on sharing the good news of Jesus, so that like the testimony that was given about the early disciples, as they went around the world and shared the gospel and the church grew, I don't even remember now which city it is, but they said, "Those who have turned the world upside down have come here too." We want to turn the world upside down. It's not going to be through politics or screaming on Facebook or yelling at people about what we don't like. It's going to be about humbly sharing the story of Jesus Christ. And so sinners become saints. This is what I once was, but thank God, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, this is my life now. And one by one, as lives are changed, and God works in people's lives, and more people are desirous to live and please God, things will change. Things will change. But they won't if we forget that we are to do good, that we are to remember that we are bought with a price, the sacrifice of Christ, and that everything we need God. Cannot forget that we need God. Lord Jesus, I come to you now. And Lord, I know I need to repent of some of my attitudes and some of my actions. Yelling at the TV, thinking, calling people stupid. Because Lord, that's not going to change the world. It's just going to make me bitter and hard. Lord, I think about how in your message on the Sermon on the Mount, you told us to love those who are our enemies, to pray for those who curse us and despitefully use us, and to reach out to people who are different than us, because if we just do what the sinners do, we're no different than them. If we only are friendly with people who are like us, then we're no different than them. But Lord, you reminded us that the Father causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And then you challenged us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, to love people where they are and to love them enough to see their lives transformed by the power of God. So Lord, as we leave this place this day, may we not forget. May we not forget as citizens of this country, of this world, and may we not forget that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to go with a new boldness this day. And that Lord, one by one, as people come to hear about you through our testimony, as we share with others about you, Lord, you're going to open up those divine appointments. There's going to be the people at the well. There's going to be the guy sitting at the coffee shop that is just kind of curious and reading the scriptures, and the Spirit's going to say, go talk to that person, and do you understand what you're reading? Well, no, not really. Well, let me tell you about the Jesus you're reading about. Lord, we rejoice as you are at work in this world, and you are at work in this world. Our trust is not in the kingdoms of this world, but in the kingdom of our God. Because we love you, we trust you. We are your sons and daughters, and our desire is to live to please you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless this people, I pray now, as we go our way. Lord, may your presence dwell within them. We know it does because you've promised that. But Lord, may there just be that special sense of your presence with us this week as we go and interact in this world. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. Remember, last chance to leave a message on our studs back there. They go away this week. And go be salt and light in the name of Jesus Christ.